الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال تعالى: لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. إن شاء الله in these few lectures, the three lectures that will follow, we'll talk about human development, which is a very important subject, and I will try to make it not be very intricate so that many of us can take advantage of this subject. And this subject is so important that if it is incorporated in the school curriculum, it can really benefit our children who are growing up and who would like to form families, and they would like to have children who would be very powerful in nature. Because when we talk about human development, we are talking of two kinds, two phases in human development, two main phases. One is when a person plans for a human being to develop from the onset, so it is pre-planned. And the other is that the person has already grown up, he's got married, and now he thinks about how to develop himself. In both cases, it is not too late. The first case, it is very appropriate to start. In the second case, it is not too late. It is for this second case that we brought the subject like self-purification, or for example, tazkiyatun nafs, how to, you know, develop your soul while you are in this stage. And we talked about the three steps that we can pursue, the tajliya and takhliya and tahliya, that I've been repeating. And these are very important steps. But this is in that stage. What about how to start a family, or start a human being who is so powerful from the onset? Beside the salawat, please. There is a riwayah that I would like you to listen to, and then we'll start asking some questions and we will respond, and then we'll look at the different stages of human development. Ishaq bin Ammar says that I asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, الرجل آتيه وأكلمه ببعض كلامه فَيَعْرِفُهُ كُلَّهُ. I come to a person and I speak to him about something, and I have not finished speaking and he knows what I'm going to say completely. I've just started telling him something and he knows everything what I'm going to say. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آتِيهِ فَأُكَلِّمُهُ بِالْكَلَامِ فَيَسْتَوْفِي كَلَامِي كُلَّهُ ثُمَّ يَرُدُّهُ عَلَى عَلَيَّ كَمَا كَلَّمْتُهُ. And there is another person whom I approach and I speak to, When I finish what I have to say, he can repeat all what I said, from first to last. But I have to finish everything. Then he repeats. The first one, he didn't need for me to finish. He just said something and I understood everything. The second one, he has to finish and the person understands everything and can respond. Then he says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آتِيهِ فَأُكَلِّمُهُ فَيَقُولْ أَعِدْ عَلَيَّ. And there is a third category, whom I come to and I speak to him, I finish what I say. Then he says, can you repeat it again? This is the third kind of person. Then the Imam says, وَمَا تَدْرِي لِمَ هَذَا. And what will make you know, or how do you know why is this so? Oh, do you know why this is so? قُلْتُ لَا. Ishaq bin Ammar says that I don't know. قَالَ أَلَّذِي تُكَلِّمُهُ بِبَعْضِ كَلَامِكَ فَيَعْرِفُهُ كُلَّهُ فَذَاكَ مَنْ عُجِنَتْ نُطْفَتُهُ بِعَقْلِهِ. He says, that person whom you talk to with some of your speech and he knows everything what you are going to say, is that person whose aql was mixed with his sperm. So he got aql in that stage. And then the Imam continues, says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِي تُكَلِّمُهُ فَيَسْتَوْفِي كَلَامَكَ ثُمَّ يُجِيبُكَ عَلَى كَلَامِكَ فَذَاكَ الَّذِي رُكِّبَ عَقْلُهُ فِيهِ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. And the second category, whom when you speak to, he responds and he tells you exactly what you said, is that person who got his aql while he was in his mother's stomach, or in his mother's womb. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي تُكَلِّمُهُ بِالْكَلَامِ فَيَقُولْ أَعِدْ عَلَيَّ فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي رُكِّبَ عَقْلُهُ فِيهِ بَعْدَمَا كَبُرُ. And the third category, whom when you talk to, you complete your speech, and then he says, can you repeat it? He is that person who got his aql while he became big, when he grew. After growing up, after some age, there is when he got his aql. That is how we now understand that, you know, when, for example, the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif, is in his mother's womb and not yet born on the 15th night, and Halima Khatun is told that recite Surah Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr, and she starts saying Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. The 12th Imam from the womb of his mother says Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr, and then he says فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And the 12th Imam repeats that. And till the end of the surah, the 12th Imam repeats that in the womb of the mother. And when he comes out in this world, then he goes to sajda and recites kalima. That means that his aql, he got it way before, isn't it? This is something that is worthy of contemplation. Now, the question arises that why this difference, that some people get aql in the very beginning stages of birth, some people get aql in the womb of their mothers, and some get aql at that age when they grow up. For example, some of them maybe at the age of 18, some 20, some 25, some 30, some 40, whatever. But that maturity comes afterwards. Obviously, there is another kind of maturity which shapes a person, and that is 40. When a person has reached 40, that is another kind of intellectual growth, which is different from this. This is that comprehending power that comprehends universals and can analyze and so on. The answer to this is that beautiful verse that I quoted in the beginning of my first lecture, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Recite the salawat, please. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And He sent down water from the sky. فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا, and the valleys got water according to their measure. This is the same principle. If that mother was extremely religious, if that mother would not go into evils, if that mother was completely binding herself to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told her, then you would see the child getting aql very quickly. It's because of the mother and the father. If, for example, what is the cause of his birth is halal food, for example. If what is the cause of his birth, those things which are halal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And not only that, but even the mother's intellectual growth, even the father's intellectual growth, all these things have effect on the child, even the behavior of the mother and the father throughout the prenatal period and so on, all affects the child. So it's very important for us to realize that all these are factors that affect the growth and development of a child. And that is, now, that is what causes impediments. You know, Allah's grace is abundant. He gives everybody equally. Not that He gives, for example, the Imam more. No, the Imam doesn't get more. The Imam has the power of receiving more. The intermediaries of reception of the grace of the Imam are more hollow and more spacious. So we are told that make our intermediaries spacious, make our intermediaries spacious, make our hearts spacious, make our minds spacious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give more. Not that at that time He will say that now I will give you more. No, He gives each and every moment more. أَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا. And this mithal is so beautiful because it applies in so many places, in different places. A person cannot claim that, you know, why I was born like this, that person was born like that. No. It is because of the impediments created by the parents or by the grandparents or by the great-grandparents and so on. Or by the environment. Therefore, the principle is this, that Allah gives abundantly. It's we who try to narrow down the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when it comes to human development, there is a controversy, even if you go to the internet, this controversy has been going on for years now, that what is that factor that is fundamentally affecting the child or the development of a child? We have got the naturalists and the nurturists. The naturalists say that it is the nature that affects the child. That is, however the father will be, the child will be. That is the main thing. Not something else. However the parents will be, the child will be. Nature only. So if the parents would be intellectual, the child also will be intellectual. If the parents will be good, the child will be 100% good, and so on. And that's all. The nurturists say no. It is the environment that affects the development of the child. It is not the nature. No, and they also cite their own examples that see, the father is like this, but the son is like this, and vice versa. So, this is what the nurturists believe. But we have a third category, and now many scientists also hold into this concept. That is, that both nature and nurture both affect the child and the growth and the development of the child. And this is what is the reality if you go and see. From the riwayat that we get from our hadith corpus, we come to realize that these two elements affect the child from the onset. Both nature as well as the nurture. Both the parents as well as the environment, depending on the environment that you give to the child. Now, when does this development start? This is a question. We have so many opinions about it. When does it actually begin? Does it actually begin in the prenatal stage when the baby is in the womb of the mother? Or does it begin during conception when the father and the mother is in the state of interaction? Does it begin in spouse selection, at spouse selection? Does it begin before spouse selection? When does it begin? There are different opinions here. One of the best opinions is that it begins centuries before you are created. Centuries before. Because the entire lineage of a person is important in the development and growth of a personality. And this can be established by some of the beautiful dictums that we recite, but we don't come to realize that we recite it so vocally and beautifully. For example, in Ziyarat Warith, we say, Ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we say, Ashhadu annaka nuran. Ashhadu annaka nuran. Verily, we bear witness that you are a light. Fil aslabi shamikha. In lofty loins, we don't say in a lofty loin, one loin, one father, no. In aslab al-shamikha, and we don't say rahim al-mutahara, but arham al-mutahara. That is pure wombs. So you came from lofty loins and pure wombs. That is how you came. And that is why we can easily say that even when we say Ummul A'imma alayhim as-salam, we also refer to Bibi Khadija salamullah alayha, about who Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, Ana ibn Khadija al-Kubra. Allahumma salli ala. So, Ashhadu annaka nuran fil aslab al-shamikha, kunta nuran fil aslab al-shamikha, wal arham al-mutahara, is a very powerful proof that says that don't think that it is the immediate parents, no. There is a whole lineage that affects the perfection of a child, the perfection of a personality who would like to grow and develop. Obviously, you know, a person would say, what is my fault? You know, I came from this lineage. But that doesn't mean that you cannot change. There is a very beautiful incident that transpired at the time of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. There was an Umayyad person who was known as Sa'd, and he was from the descendants of Marwan. Marwan la'natullah alayh, he was ashaddu adawatan ala ahli al-bayt alayhim salam, extremely antagonistic against the ahli al-bayt alayhim salam. He is known in the riwayat. So this Sa'd was from his lineage. One day Sa'd near Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam started crying loudly. And he also loved the Imam. So the Imam said, that what's wrong with you? Why are you crying loudly? What has happened? Because he had heard, you see the verse that says, Shajaratul Mal'una fil Qur'an, it's referred to Bani Umayya. They are the Shajaratul Mal'una, the accursed tree in the Qur'an. So he told Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, Ya Imam, Ana min ash-shajarati al-mal'una fil Qur'an. I am from the accursed tree that is mentioned in the Qur'an. And therefore he started crying again. The Imam said, wait. And the Imam gives us a principle now, that you know, change can transpire. It's not that, okay, you got a bad lineage, that's now you will never change. No. He says, Ya Sa'd. And Sa'd, the Imam called him Sa'd al-Khayr also. Sa'd, the good one. He said, Ya Sa'd, Anta Amawiyun Minna Ahl al-Bayt. Although you are Amawi, but you are from us, the Ahl al-Bayt, alayhi salam. Now this clearly shows that you can, with your efforts, with your mind, you can change the turn. Even if, for example, you are brought up in such a way that you feel that your parents were not as you anticipated, or your grandparents were like that. No, you can still change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran doesn't say that, you know, if you are from this lineage, that's all, tamam shud. Now, nothing will transpire. No, there is opportunity to transpire. But then, this effect, 100%, this lineage effect, that's how the Imam, we address the Imam. Or for example, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, in the well-known ziyarat, in the well-known supplication of Arafah that we recite in the Maidan of Arafah, see how he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنَ التُّرَابِ. You created me from clay. ثُمَّ أَسْكَنْتَنِي الْأَسْلَابِ. Then you established me in loins. That means not one sulb, but different fathers, from one father to the other. See, all the lineage is taken into consideration.
آمنا لريب المنون واختلاف الدهور. In loins safe from the unpredictable turn of destiny and the difference of times. And then he says, فَلَمْ أَزَلْ ضَاعِنًا مِنْ صُلْبٍ إِلَى رَحِمٍ فِي تَقَادُمِ الْأَيَّامِ الْمَاضِيَةِ وَالْقُرُونِ الْخَالِيَةِ. He says, then I have been shifting from the loin to the womb among the course of the bygone days and past centuries. That clearly tells us that, you know, every lineage, every element of our lineage was important. See, many people say that, you see, but our lineage goes to Hindus, you know, and therefore we don't have a good lineage. But how do you know those Hindus were monotheists or not? Because if you look at some of the Hindu scriptures, like the Upanishad and others, some scholars believe that there were prophets at that time who had come and who had given the divine message, but thereafter there was a lot of adulteration that transpired in the books. Therefore, you cannot say 100% that, you know, our ancestors were like that. No. Obviously, at a certain time, maybe they had adopted that polytheistic creed. But then slowly and gradually, the time changed. But before that, we cannot claim that were they monotheists or not. Unless we do have a history that tells us that what is the origin of Hinduism and whether it was divinely revealed, whether they have divine scriptures or not. Anyway, so this is very important that we realize that one of the most important phases of human development is that lineage that a person possesses. It really helps a person. The second very important step now that, you know, comes about is the stage when a person is nearly to get married, or before that stage before getting married, before even spouse selection. Why I say this stage before spouse selection is because this is the stage where you nearly form your world view at the age of, depends on, of course, your receptivity. When do you go after aqaid and understand aqaid and so on? So long as you have not formed a proper worldview, you will see that whatever would transpire out afterwards, it will be detrimental to yourself. So worldview is very important. You will see that if the worldview is there, you will see the actions will be according to the worldview. For example, if a person's worldview is not strong and his aqaid is not strong, even if he is told that, you know, that girl or that boy is extremely religious, so you get married, for example, with regard to the girl is told that person is extremely religious, you get married with him. You say, no, but he's not rich, or he's, for example, not handsome, and so on. Obviously, beauty and all these things are important, not that they are not important. In other riwayat, we see that these things are also taken into consideration, but secondarily. Primarily, it is that lineage of a person and that religiousness of a person. So, the person, because he or she doesn't have a very powerful background, says that, you know, but this girl is not from a rich family. She is beautiful, she is, for example, religious, but she is not from a rich family. So, she is not kofu of mine. See, kofu is that like that a person has, that likeness and that similarity that a person has with the person whom he is going to get married. So, why does this come about? Despite all the sayings of the Prophet, despite the Quranic verses, he says no. Why does he say no? Because the worldview is not strong. If the worldview was strong and he would know where he is going to and what he should do, then he would not waver. So it is very important for us to establish our worldview even before we even try to get married. That doesn't stop those who would like to get married and propose to stop and, you know, search for a worldview now and thereafter think. But this is very important. This is extremely important. It's a very important phase, you see. Counseling sometimes is done after every proposal, everything is done, and then somebody is told, okay, you go to that office and there's a person who's going to talk to you about marriage. You come to realize that that old person who is talking to you about marriage, you know better than him. Because of, you see, the times have changed. This is not important. What is important is that you have realized where are you going now? What step are you going to take? Because you are going to develop a human being afterwards. You want somebody to grow, somebody to be, to develop in your house, to be perfect. How would you get that person perfect? First, perfect your worldview, number one. And thereafter, you go for spouse selection. Spouse selection is a very comprehensive subject. I don't think so. We can talk more about this. But there is one two hadith which tell us that what kind of spouse really to go for if you really want a very powerful generation to come forward. And if you want your children to develop as perfect human beings. Recite a salawat, please. And these sayings are very, very powerful. For example, you look at this saying from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَتَزْوِيجَ الْحَمْقَاءِ. Beware of marrying with silly women, obviously, and vice versa. Right? Because this, sometimes the hadith is given as just an example, right? Because they are addressing men. If you would address women, then it would be something else. It would be the opposite. Therefore, he says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَتَزْوِيجَ الْحَمْقَاءِ. Why? فَإِنَّ صُحْبَتَهَا بَلَاءٌ. Because to be a companion of her is bala, number one. وَوَلَدُهَا ضِيَاءٌ. Ajib. And her children is a waste. This is a very stern saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This tells us that, you see, silly women are what? Now, what kind of, obviously a person would say, I'll never marry silly women. You think we'll marry silly women? No, silliness is not that madness, that person who doesn't know what she's doing. No, silliness is a person, a woman who just is attached to this material world, doesn't have concern about others, is selfish, is completely, you know, driven to this world, thinks about this world, thinks about what she will wear, what she will eat, and so on. She doesn't have that vision. Even the way she thinks, you come to realize that she is extremely limited, such women. You see, وَلَدُهَا ضِيَاءٌ. Because obviously, when she rears herself like that, and she doesn't care about the upbringing of children, and she starts scolding the children, and feeding them irregularly, not knowing what to do, when, and just bursting out because of her emotions and so on, the children would be there, obviously. And we have seen this tangibly from people who have been completely attached to the world, and the mothers also are heedless of them. When they grow up, the father doesn't know where he is going. The father just gives him the car keys and gives him money nearly every month, and he goes and travels. The father doesn't know where he is. What is he doing at night, even if he comes at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock? He's not worried. The onset was wrong. How did he rear? At that time, you can't rear the person at that time after he has formed that qalib. You can't just say that, okay, now you must change. If you don't change, I'm going to do this. He'll say, do it, no problem. Get lost. At that time, the youth is a youth now. He has formed his shape. Obviously, there is rectification at that time also. That now the rectification, according to some psychologists, is that be his friend now. And slowly and gradually convince him that the way his friends act with him, obviously not completely that way, but make him understand that you extremely love him, and slowly and gradually rectify him. Because there is always a period of rectification. We can't say that, you know, okay, he has formed a shape, he's about 24 years, and now I can't change him. No, you can change him. Psychologists say now, at this time you have to be his friend and slowly and gradually work on him. It may take months, it may take 2-3 years and so on. So it is very important for a person when he wants to choose a spouse to know what kind of spouse he is choosing, because this will determine what kind of children he will have in future. And there is another very beautiful hadith also. This is from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. where you see he is with his companions and he addressing his companions says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَاءُ الدِّمَنِ, beware of that waste matter that is upon which greenery is grown. You see, there are some waste places, places of waste whereby you will see that a layer of green grass is growing over there. So the Prophet, when he said this, the companion said, وَمَا خَضْرَاءُ الدِّمَنِ, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what do you mean by that green grass which is so beautiful growing on the dung or on waste matter? And the Prophet said, الْمَرْأَةُ الْحَسَنَاءُ فِي مَنْبَتِ السُّوءِ, that means a beautiful woman but from evil parents, evil roots. And when Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli was, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this great spiritual alim for all of us inshaAllah, when he tried to analyze this hadith, the same thing that I told you earlier, he said that this also pertains to men also, that the men also are told إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَاءُ الدِّمَنِ, and the women are also told إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَاءُ الدِّمَنِ, with regard to men, that don't choose those, don't accept to marry with those men who are from evil roots. But obviously, you see, sometimes things have already transpired and you have already done what you have done and you have already got married. At that time, the best thing is now trying to rectify the previous situation. And as I told you, it doesn't take long. If a person really struggles, he can rectify the situation. Unless it is that situation whereby, you know, you cannot rectify completely, you have tried for a long time. With regard to Ayatollah Marashi Najafi, one of the great ulama, for example, he had to marry another wife. He had to divorce his wife because the wife was simply not caring. She would go out with jeans and t-shirt and all that. Afterwards, he came to realize. So at that time, he cannot. He tries, but he cannot. This is something else. So to get children from such a wife is bala, isn't it? Waladuha dhiya, suhbatuha bala. This is a great alim, that one is completely outlined, obviously. So these are circumstances where sometimes you cannot rectify and sometimes you can rectify. Now, a very important thing, obviously there is a lot of information with regard to this also, but time is very limited. There is another stage which is very important, and that is after having got married with the right spouse. And alhamdulillah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that also. Then comes the time of interaction, or not before interaction, preconception. That is before planning to get a child. Now that planning phase also, the Prophet also did. See, people think that, you know, it's something awkward, you know. Everything should finish in the first night. It's not that way. The Prophet also used 40 days isolated from Bibi Khadija salamullah alayha for 40 days. And then the conception of Bibi Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha. And in these 40 days he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to get spiritually higher and higher. And that's why it is very important that even before getting married, a 40-day gap should be counted from the time you want to get married. And try to plan yourself, try to have a certain kind of devotion, like for example, either fasting for the 40 days, tatawu'an qurbatan ila Allah. Or for example, reciting some du'as like Ziyarat Ashura for 40 days, so that you can prepare for an offspring whom when you see, you really feel that you are at solace. Alladhina يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. The Ibadur Rahman, recite a salawat please. The servants of the All Beneficent are those who say, O Allah, gift us from our wives and offsprings قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ is such, you know, the word قُرَّةُ الْعَيْنِ, which is very well known, is as follows. You see, when you see something and you weep and the tear comes out from your eye, And a sensation of coolness comes, that is known as qurratul ayn. So it's as if when you look at your child or you look at your wife, you cry out of love, the tears flow, and that coolness is felt. This is known as qurratul ayn. That's what we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. And therefore, this is also very important, the preparation stage. Alhamdulillah, lately our Khoja brothers have printed, the World Federation has printed a very beautiful book on this preparation stage by Brother Abbas Mirali and Sister Shaheen. They have written a very good book on what to do, the stages after marriage and before conception, which if a person really reads that and prepares, you'll see that he will get what he anticipates. Obviously, this is only one stage. There are other things also very important to do. Again, another very important stage is during conception and during interaction. In this stage, the very important thing that ulama tell us is the thought that crosses your mind. Beware of that thought that crosses your mind. Don't think about other people at that time. The only thing you should do is do zikrullah azza wa jal. That zikrullah ala kulli hal hasan. That is there. That zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment of your life. The Prophet Musa ala nabiyina wa alihi alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even when I go to the toilet, when I do zikrullah, it's hasan. He says, yes, even at the toilet, when you go to the toilet. Don't think that it is something shameful or no. So even during interaction, that is before conception transpires, that thought that comes and crosses a person's mind is so important that it will shape the child 100%. And this is even ratified and established by great ulama. See, some of our women, what they do is after conception has transpired, when they are expecting, they start putting photos of beautiful, for example, handsome boy or handsome girl, and they say, you know, if I look at this for about 6 months or 9 months, then I'll get a handsome boy like that. No, that's wrong. From the riwayat and from the powerful statement of the urafa, they say that no, that khiyal, that imagination that comes in your mind is so important that try to control that imagination. And that is why you'll find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, is advised by the Prophet that, for example, when you are interacting with your wife at that time, don't have the shahwat of another woman, especially those people who have the habit of ogling at women. So if you have the shahwat of another woman, then the one who will be born would be khunsa, both male and female. Now this is the effect of that thinking. So it's very important for us to control our minds. The best thing is always to engage in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless the couple a good child. Another very important phase of development is after conception, during the prenatal period. That is when, during the 9 months that the child is in the woman's womb, whatever thought she has, whatever movie she sees, whatever action she does, whatever reaction comes about, everything affects the child. Everything. Each and everything. And alhamdulillah, even scientific research, Dr. Thomas Verney is a child psychologist, one of the leading child psychologists. In his book, for example, he says that a woman is her baby's conduit to the world. Everything that affects her affects him. And nothing affects her as deeply or hits with such lacerating impact as worries about her husband or partner. Because of that, few things are more dangerous to a child emotionally and physically than a father who abuses or neglects his expecting wife. Now, obviously, this is another situation with regard to Shias. True believing Shias, they would not neglect or, you know, be indifferent to their wives. But I'm just saying that everything that a wife does or a wife acts And this has been proven by even other anecdotes of how, because the wife had done a small mistake during her pregnancy, the effect came to the child and he repeated a similar incident during his lifetime. Therefore, it is very important. That's why, see, the woman should be very careful in what she sees, what she hears, how she thinks. Everything will affect the child. Well, there is so much to say, but time also is limited. Recite a salawat, please. And another very important stage, inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue the other stages, but another very important stage is the stage of breastfeeding after the child is born. That is the phase whereby if the woman is a silly woman, now you know what silly means in this connotation, then you'll find that silliness also will penetrate to the child. And inshallah, we'll mention a very important incident of how this can affect. But then that doesn't mean, there is a principle which is there and people have proven it and it is there in our riwayat, that don't think that the course is finished. Yazid can never change, for example. Muawiyah can never change. No. That volition is there during his lifetime. Obviously now they have gone. They will go to, they are in hellfire of Barzakh and they will burn in the hereafter also. But during their time, the same Quranic khitab and address was to them. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Inna hadaynahu najdain. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. And they volitionally took the wrong course. So there is a volition in everybody's hands during his lifetime. Even if he is wicked, see, he has got that ikhtiyar. Some people choose the path which has not to be chosen. Recite a salawat, please. One of the most greatest calamities that befell Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam was after the martyrdom of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. It seems that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam knew what would transpire. Obviously, being the Imam, he knew what would transpire. And that is why he would weep now and again. And when Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is asked which was the most difficult place for him to bear, he said, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham. Because he knew how difficult it was. It is said that after all the shuhada, including Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, were martyred, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's neck was cut, أمر ابن سعد بقطع رؤوس الباقين من أصحاب الحسين وأهل بيته. Ibn Sa'd said that cut all of the heads of all other companions and the Ahlul Bayt of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. فقطعت وكانت 72. All the necks were cut and there were 72 in number. And they were taken to Ibn Ziyad. And it is said, وَأَقَامَ بَقِيَّةَ الْيَوْمِ الْعَاشِرِ وَالْحَادِ عَشَرِ إِلَى الزَّوَالِ. These enemies stayed on the 10th and 11th of the day of Muharram up to the time of Zawal, that is the time of Dhuhr. ثُمَّ تَوَجَّهَ إِلَى الْكُوفَةِ. Thereafter they went towards Kufa. وَحَمَلَ مَعَهُ نِسَاءُ الْحُسَيْنِ وَبَنَاتُهُ وَأَخَوَاتُهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنَ الصِّبْيَانِ. And all the women and the daughters of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and the sisters of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and other women were taken with their children towards Kufa. وَفِيهِمْ عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ قَدْ انْهَكَتْهُ الْعِلَّةِ. And among them was Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin, who was chained and he was in the state of sickness. فَقَالَ النِّسْوَ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَرَرْتُمْ بِنَا عَلَى مَصْرَعِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Before leaving Karbala, the women said that we swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says that you must make us pass through this place where Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's body is.
فمروا بهم على الحسين وأصحابهم وهم سرعى. They passed by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they had already been martyred. فَلَمَّا نَذَرَ النِّسْوَى إِلَى الْقَتْلَى سِحْنَا وَدَرَبْنَا وُجُوهَهُنْ. When the women saw the martyrs, they started screaming and hitting on their faces. قَالَ الرَّاوِي فَوَاللَّهِ لَا أَنْسَى زَيْنَبُ وَهِيَ تَنْدُ بِالْحُسَيْنِ وَتُنَادِي بِصَوْتٍ حَزِينٍ وَقَلْبٍ كَئِيبٍ. He said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not forget Zainab salamullah alayha while she was trying to lament over Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and call in a very great voice, Ya Muhammada, salli alayka malaikatu s-sama, hada Husaynuka murammalun bid-dima, muqatta'u al-a'za, wa banatuka sabaya. Said, O Muhammad, may the malaika of the heavens have peace on you. This is your Hussein, who is covered full of blood, and all the members of his body are cut. وَبَنَاتُكَ سَبَايَا. And your daughters also have been taken as captives.
أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.